All four Gospels contain a story of the baptism of Jesus Christ. This morning, we hear Luke's version of the story from chapter 3, verses 15 through 17 and 21 through 22. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." May God bless this reading and hearing. Amen.
So this is probably not news to you, but our Christian tradition can sometimes, maybe more than just sometimes, we can be a bit judgy, and our tradition can be more than a little bit heavy. For example, in our chapter 3 of Luke's gospel, from where our passage was taken from this morning, we see a moment in Jewish history where there's a spiritual awakening happening. And people are coming out to be baptized by John. The awakening has started in part sparked by Roman oppression and by religious calcification among the Jewish people. The awakening is headed by a fiery preacher named John, who's using the ritual of baptism to call people back to God, to help people change from the inside out, to change individual lives, but to change the whole community as well. So what we see in chapter 3 are people coming out from Jerusalem and the surrounding countryside to see John at the Jordan River. We see the fiery John yelling at people and calling them out for their broken and breaking ways. We have the threatening metaphor, right, of the axe at the root of the tree, and they'll chop the tree down if they're not bearing the right fruit. We have the metaphor of the winnowing fork, right? It's a very judgy metaphor, the wheat and the chaff being separated, with the implication that you don't want to be the chaff. You've got the phrases of brood of vipers. Can I have somebody turn, one of the ushers, turn my microphone down a little bit? It's a little ringy. Yeah. So we've got the phrases of brood of vipers and coming wrath and unquenchable fire, right? So I don't know about you, but that all feels a lot heavy to me. Don't get me wrong, I don't mind strong language. I don't mind being reminded of my brokenness and my own need to change. And I don't mind hearing the painful truth. But what I mind, and many people I know mind, and maybe you mind, is hearing a message about what I'm doing wrong without balancing that out with a message about what it is that I'm doing right. And that kind of unbalanced message is far too common in our Christian tradition. That kind of unbalanced message masquerades as being prophetic or speaking the truth in love, but it really just harms people, and it damages us and wounds us, and it leaves us heading for the doors. It's that kind of unbalanced message that I hope we can avoid this morning and every morning. Let's pray. Loving God, we've come here this morning as we are, and you've received us and said yes, and we thank you for that. May we have eyes to see and ears to hear the good news in your word and nothing less. Amen. So initial impressions aside, I don't think what we have in the chapter 3 of Luke's gospel is that kind of unbalanced message. See, in Luke chapter 3, verse 21, we see Jesus coming out to the countryside and just queuing up, standing in line. Luke doesn't give us a sense of why, what's changed for Jesus, what's going on in his life, what's moving for him internally that has moved him to come out and see John at the Jordan River. We just know that Jesus stands in line with the rest of God's broken people. And he awaits his turn like everybody else to be baptized, to be dipped into the waters of the Jordan River. Now, Luke doesn't really give us an account of the moment of Jesus' baptism, but that's okay, because he tells us what we really need to know. And what we need to know is that after Jesus was baptized, that God's presence, the Holy Spirit in the form of the dove, came down upon him and everybody there, and that God's voice boomed from out of nowhere and said, "Jesus, it's one of my children standing in line. I love you and am so very pleased with you." Can you imagine how good that must have felt to hear those words after hearing John's words about unquenchable fire and winnowing forks? In the midst of all of John's heaviness, can you imagine how light that must have felt for Jesus? Can you imagine how that must have caused the joy to bubble up within him? I mean, to hear God's voice speak those words must have inspired and moved and transformed and changed Jesus in a way that finger wagging and shrill screeching of John never, ever could. So here's the thing. That God coming out of nowhere and saying, "This is my beloved in whom I am well pleased," that was a message of God's love not only for Jesus. You see, there were lots of other people there that day, lots of other people standing in line right alongside of him. And that message, can you see, of love and being pleased by God was a message for Jesus, but also for you and me too. You see, there is joy in the water for Jesus, but there's also joy in the water for us. Which means that this story that starts out by weighing 1,000,000 pounds and threatens to crush us ends by weighing nothing at all. It ends not by crushing us, but by reassuring us and nurturing us with God's love. And this story ends with the joy of water, which is an awesome. So this is probably not news to you, but our Christian tradition can be judgy and heavy, and it often is. So I'm not afraid to say this morning that I'm tired of that kind of Christianity. I'm tired of the kind of Christianity that's all John but no Jesus. I'm tired of the kind of Christianity that makes it so that when I tell people I'm a pastor or a follower of Jesus, that a look of fear and dread and anxiety and anger washes over their face because they've been harmed by the tradition that I claim. I'm tired that when our Christian faith moves into the public square, that it becomes a weapon to harm and a prison to enslave. And I'm so saddened that the waters of baptism that we pour in our baptismal fonts in churches all over the world on Sunday mornings become something less than joy by Sunday afternoon, far too often. Which is really too bad. Because I don't know about you, but I'm pretty clear that I and you and we in this world, we need the joy of God's love, don't we? Like the winter needs the spring. So I'm super excited that it's Baptism of Jesus Sunday today, one of my favorite Sundays of the year, because on this Sunday we are reminded that our tradition has John, don't get me wrong, we got to be yelled at sometimes, but that it also contains Jesus. On this Sunday we are reminded that the gospel sometimes starts heavy, but that it should always end light. And we are reminded today that there is joy in the water for one and only one reason. Because God's voice still booms from out of nowhere and says to you and me and all of us, you are my beloved, and you I am so very well pleased. Amen, right? So to end our service this morning, and as we sing our final hymn, I'm going to invite anybody who feels moved to come forward to the waters. You can just touch the water. I made it warm. Touch your forehead, maybe your lips. If you've been baptized, this may be for you an affirmation of your baptism, a saying yes to the God who says yes to you. If you haven't been baptized, still come. It could be for you an affirmation that you are a child of God. And for all of us, whether we come forward or not, may it be for us a grand statement booming from nowhere that you are so very beloved. So come now to the waters. And if you can't come to the waters, just catch the attention of an usher and they will come to you and bring you water in your pew. But come as you are and experience the joy of water.